Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Victorious Living. This is your host, Minister Janice. The barbarians showed us unusual and remarkable kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed and received us all. Since it had begun to rain and get cold. This is found in Acts chapter 28, verse 2. The barbarians, the uncivilized, the folks that were rude, unfriendly, usually selfish and unthoughtful, they decided to show hospitable an opportunity to be kind. It's not hard. You have to decide to make the choice to do the right thing at the right time to the right folks. Think about that. That's a decision that you have to make, to do the right thing at the right time to the right folks. That is found in Acts chapter 28 and verse 2. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come thanking you for this day, thanking you, God, for having ears that we could hear, having a voice, oh God, that we can speak, having a heart that we may receive, oh God, that we may receive your word, what you have for us. And we thank you, God, for listening ears, for hearts that are receptive, for folks, oh God, with warm hearts and warm souls that have a desire, have a yearning to know more about you. And we thank you this day for what you're going to do, what you're doing now. We thank you in advance in Jesus' holy name. And we say thank you. Amen, amen. We thank God. We thank God for you, and we thank God for you, and we bless his holy name. Yes, yes, yes. We were just talking about Acts 28, verse 2, how the barbarians, the people who were usually rude, cruel, uncivilized, selfish, unthoughtful, how they decided to make a change, to show hospitality. Let's say hospitality. They decided to open up their doors, open up their hearts, open up their arms to strangers. This is going on in Acts, and this is going on with Paul. They decided. And I just added to that, and I said, it's not hard. All you have to do is decide. All you have to do is make a decision to the right thing at the right time to the right folks. Glory to God. That's it. Just decide to do something good. Yeah. Let's look in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10. And we're going to go to verse 17 and 19. And it says, for the Lord your God is God of gods, and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, the terrible God, who is not, listen to this, who is not partial, and he takes no bribes. Now listen to that. Listen to that. He don't take a bribe. Think about that. And think about the folks who have tried to get him, wanted him to take a bribe, but he don't take any. Mm-hmm. Don't you just love him to know the qualities of our God and to realize that there is no partiality? He doesn't show that. He loves the green. He loves the black. He loves the purple. He loves blue. He loves white. He loves mankind. After all, he was the creator of mankind. He don't take any backroom deals. There's no deals that you can make with him in the back room. No. He's up, straight, forward, to the point. That's him. He's a true God. Yeah, don't you just think about that. Think about it just for a minute. You don't have to worry about, should I trust him? You don't have to worry about that. Yeah, you can trust him. You can trust him. Because he's not going to go and do anything behind your back. Huh? He's not going to do anything negative behind your back. He's not that kind of God. He's not going to make a backroom deal. And we see that today. I know I see it. We see it all over, a lot of backroom. And how you could tell it's a backroom deal, you may know something was supposed to be a certain way, and then when you hear of it again, something had changed. But the two parts of the story that should have met in the middle, you didn't hear it. All you see is the end. Hey, that's a backroom deal. That's a backroom deal. And so many of our politicians are doing that today. Backroom deals. Yes. Yet and still we want to train our kids to do just the opposite. But we're not doing it. We're not doing it ourselves. But think about this God. He doesn't do backroom deals. No. No, you don't have to worry about him. Let's look at verse 18. And it says that he executes justice for the fatherless and the widow. And he loves the stranger or the temporary resident. And he gives him food and clothing. Hello. Hello. Now, I know some of us have been temporary residents. Yeah, we live in Louisiana, so we done been temporary somewhere. Hello? We have been temporary somewhere. But not only do we live in Louisiana, but we live in the United States. And we all have been temporary somewhere at some time. But we needed food. Where we needed clothes. Come on now. We were temporary strangers. We were in a land that we weren't familiar with. We was in a community. We weren't familiar with that. But God. Yeah, but God. Mm-hmm. So who wouldn't desire to be in a relationship with our Father, the Father that I'm talking about today? Who wouldn't want to be in a relationship with such a loving and kind Father? Someone who's always thinking about you. Someone who has your back. Yeah, we're talking about love now. We're talking about love. Yeah. This is our last night on love. But just because we won't be talking about it doesn't mean that we should not implement it. We should not apply it in our life daily. We should always seek to show love first. First. And if we feel like love can't come out, then we need to just take a moment and take a deep breath and be quiet. Because love kills it all. Love kills it all. When hate tries to rise up, love will come and kill it. Yes. Love is what we're talking about. So verse 19 says, therefore love the stranger and the sojourner, for you were a stranger and a sojourner in a land of Egypt. So here we see that we are reminded of where we come from, things that we have experienced. And, you know, so often we forget. Oh, yeah, we forget. You know, I mean, I forgot. Oh, yeah, I forgot. You know, last year we had to go in that hotel. I forgot. Well, here we see that we are reminded, a quick reminder, positive instructions, the love of the stranger, the love of the traveler. He goes on to remind us about how we too once were sojourners. And a sojourner is just a traveler, someone that's what we may call it displaced. You know, we've heard that term. You're displaced right now, okay? Distant folks, folks without a father, a stranger. Mm-hmm. But when we got to know Jesus, hallelujah, when we took time to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, oh, hallelujah. Think about that. Think about that type of union. Think about the embrace that you felt. Think about the love that overshadowed you. Even right now as we're speaking, the love of God. And you just close your eyes for a moment and just think about the love of God. All day, whatever it is that you've gone through, it was the love of God that took care of you, that shielded you, that protected you. The love. Hallelujah. The love of God. So turn quickly to the book of Job. We're going to go quickly to the book of Job. I'm going to try to get all this in as I possibly can. In the book of Job, I went to chapter, I think I went to chapter 2. But I'm going to paraphrase this anyway. But I just want you to know that we're in the book of Job. And so in the book of Job, we see in Job, Job is under a test. He's under a test. Yeah. So many times we will go through tests. We will go through it. God will allow us to be tested. Yeah, yeah. I can't say when. I can't say how. But it's going to happen. You may be tested. And here we see that Job, he was tested. And one of the things that I just want to bring out to you, that Job had a friend, and his friend name was Bildad. Bildad, he didn't understand the relationship that Job had with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And, you know, many of us have friends and we have family members that they don't understand the relationship that we may have with Jesus. Why? Because they may not have that type of relationship. You know, Jesus will meet you where you are. Where, whatever level of understanding you at, he will meet you there. If you are a babe in Christ, he's going to meet you there. If you are a seasoned saint, he's going to meet you there. Huh? And if you are in between, you know how you may have them in between lukewarm people? He's going to meet you too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's going to meet you. Well, here we see that Bildad didn't understand the relationship Job had. And here in this particular story, Job had got to a place where he was beginning to wonder too, but he didn't tell them of the wondering that he had. But some of the things came out in this lesson. Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, we may have a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We may feel like we're secure, tight, and really have it going on. But something may come. Huh? And then we begin to question ourselves. We're not going to question it loud. We may question it privately. Can I get an amen? We're going to question it privately and say, now, Lord, I know you're here. I know you're with me. I know you're here. And really what we're saying, speak, Lord, speak to me. I need to know that you're here. That's what we're saying. Huh? But anyway, in this story with Job, Job was being tested. And he was being tested because God had allowed Satan to bring him to this place where he was going to be tested. But God knew, he knew that Job was qualified, that he could pass this test. He knew he could. He knew he could. And so here in this verse 3, we see that Bildad questioned the ability of God. He wanted to know if God perverted judgment or do it the Almighty pervert justice? Which one? Does he just give judgment to you, or does he give you justice? Which one? Because what he's looking at is what's going on with Job. See, when we don't, those of us who don't have the relationship that others may have, we may see them going through a trial. We may see them going through some type of situation, and we would be thinking something, they did something, or they did something wrong. But it's not always the case. It's not always the case. And so here we see his friend, Bildad, is questioning, what kind of God is this? Is he judging you, or he's going to give you some justice? Meaning, are you being punished? This is what he's saying. Are you being punished? Or is there some justice that's going to be right around the corner? That's what he's really saying to Job. But Bildad, he goes on to the question. He goes on to the question, the death of Job's children. Yeah. See, Job lost all his children. He lost all his cattle. He lost a lot. Mm-hmm. And you see, a lot of times when we're going through things, people see we're going through things, and they begin to wonder what kind of relationship they have. Where is that God? What God that is they're talking about? I don't know if God is in there. We've heard a lot of things being told to us, those of us who are in Christ, but we have to do what? We have to stand. Uh-huh. Leaving everything alone. That's what happened with Job. He lost everything. So here we see also, in here, we see that we have his friend Bildad, but then we see Job's wife. She tells Job that we have lost everything. Stop trying to have so much integrity. This is what she's saying. And what she's really meaning is stop trying to act like you have this dynamic relationship with God and just curse him and go ahead and die. That's what she's saying in so many words. So what type of relationship does she have? Where is her relationship? Where is her belief? Everybody's relationship and belief is not the same. Stay with me. And the question to this story is, should Job have hated his friend Bildad? Why? If you said right then, no, he shouldn't have hated him, tell me why. Bildad, he didn't have the relationship Job had. So he began to question the relationship Job had. But Job did not hate his friend, Bildad. He still loved him. He still had kind words for him. Even though many times he wanted him to just be quiet, he didn't want to hear what he had to say, but he didn't say that to him. He didn't put him out of his house. He didn't have harsh words with him. He had kind words. This was his friend. Question number two. So why should Job tell his, what should Job tell his wife when she told him that he should curse God? Should Job have run and said, woman, he did say, woman, you talk like a foolish woman, but should he have ran and said, I'm divorcing you, I'm giving you papers for you to leave, I hate you, I despise you? He didn't do her that either. He stayed there with his loving wife. Mm-hmm. Three, should Job hate her? No. Should we hate someone when they don't see things our way? When they don't see that God is doing something for us that they may not understand, that they may not see? Should we despise them for not being spiritually minded to see it? Of course not. Mm-mm. We have often heard, listen to this, we've often heard this. First God, second wife, our husband, and third, children and family. And that is the order in which Job took a stand. He took a stand. and he trusts God. So if though we question God, he did, he questioned God, but he still loved God. The love that Job had could not be shaken. It couldn't be shredded away. It wouldn't die. Hello? He was rooted and he was grounded. Even though he had questions. And it's okay to question. It's okay to have questions. God loves us unconditionally. God is faithful even when we are faithless. When our faith is gone somewhere else, our faith has gone airborne. God is still loving us. When some of us don't even have faith, when some of us really don't even know God, don't even know the Creator, God loves and mercy never stops. It never stops reaching out to us. We can always have a new beginning, a new start in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No matter what we have done. Listen to what I said. That's why there's the word is called repent, R-E-P-E-N-T. He has allowed us to repent. He has allowed us to come and ask for forgiveness, to turn away from whatever the sin is and never go back. He has allowed this. Let's go quickly to the book of Hosea. And I'm going to, like I said, paraphrase this. In the book of Hosea, chapter 1, we see that we're talking about love now. Hosea. And the parallel to Hosea and Gomer was God and Israel. Just stay with me with that. Gomer was the woman, was the prostitute that Hosea was told to marry by God. Think about that. God telling me to go marry a prostitute? God telling me to go marry a whoremonger? Will my friends believe that? I don't know. Think about it. See, a lot of times when God is testing us and telling us what to do, they may not understand. Why? Because he's not telling them. He's telling you. Gomer was a prostitute, one that God told Hosea to marry her and have children. Yes. The point of this is the comparison. The compare and the contrast is that love for Gomer, love that Hosea had for Gomer. And it was overwhelming. It was the overwhelming compassion that he had. Think about knowing that your wife or your spouse is going to be with other men. Because when she got married, she didn't stop being a prostitute. She continued on. But Hosea, who took orders from God, the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, was showing Hosea and the nation of Israel, those who were really paying attention, how she had walked away from her husband and how Israel had walked away from God. And he was trying to explain to them the love that he had for Israel. And look at the love that Hosea had for the prostitute. Think about that. Think about it. We're talking about love here. See, this is unconditional love. This is love that's blind. That's what I call it. It's a blind love. Because these are examples of love where you say, well, I don't know. Yeah, I know you would say that. See, we have to be God. You have to go before the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to tell me, and I need you to convict me, to make me know that this is you. You hear what I'm saying? Yeah. Hosea was obedient to what God said for him to do. So the main point to this story of Hosea is the love that God had for Israel. And really, God had love for Hosea, even though we may not understand the love that he had for him. But he was teaching him. He was showing him how to love. How to love unconditional. Even though someone is not doing what we desire for them to do, we could still love them. And I know that's hard. I know that's what you're saying. Oh, I don't know about that. I know that the only way that we, you and me, and anyone else can do this is through the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's through his direction. It's through his understanding. And it will be through his wisdom. And he will have to anoint you with that. Oh, yeah. And he has the power, and he has the authority, and he has the right that he can come and anoint us to go through. Glory to God. So ask yourself, would you have married a prostitute? Mm-hmm. If not, would you have dated one? Think about that. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for listening ears. We thank you, God, for receptive hearts. We thank you, Master, for everyone that is listening to us. Those are near, those are far away. We ask, oh, God, that you protect our hearts, God. Protect us, Master. Show us what you want us to do, when you want us to do it. And we will be careful to give you all praise. We will give you all honor. And it's in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. And we thank God for everyone that is listening with us this evening. We ask you to continue to be blessed and walk by faith and not by sight. Yeah, the faith walk. And we look forward to having you back here with us on next Friday. And, of course, on Saturday, Sister Sadie's with the children. And on Sunday evenings, God Favored Ministry with Pastor George. Yes, at the same number that you dial. We just love to teach the word of God. We just love to be in the presence of God. So we look forward to having you back here with us on next Friday. Be blessed. Amen.